Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now, as you hear these words, as you hear these beatitudes, these teachings of Jesus, as he sat on the side of the mount to begin to teach the crowds, how do you feel? What are things that rise up in you when you hear these words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit"? Do you feel this is for you? Do you maybe feel a little bit inadequate? We hear words like "blessed are," and we wonder, is that for me? Or is that for someone else out there? "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Am I poor in spirit? Like, what is poor in spirit? Am I doing, am I achieving this? Am I working my way to being poor in spirit? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Do I measure up to these beatitudes? What are you talking about, Jesus? Am I inadequate? And yet Jesus, standing on this mount, begins to speak some of the most revolutionary words ever. They are the most revolutionary words ever because they're repeated all over the place. People have quoted beatitudes whether they know about Jesus or the Bible or the church. They're famous. There's songs written about them. They're using Hallmark cards. They're everywhere. So today we are continuing our series, Join in Generosity. Last week we talked about the kingdom of God and the generous lifestyle that Jesus is inviting us into. That is, generosity is this posture of our hearts towards others and towards God. And with the arrival of Jesus, who begins his ministry and with a proclamation to change our lives. Like, he just shows up and says, change your lives. The word we use in the Bible there, or the word used in the Bible there, is repent. But the reason I like the translation "change your life" or "turn" is because repent has been used in a lot of ways that have not been helpful and has been used in ways that Jesus has not meant for it to be used. So Jesus does show up though and says, change your lives. Repent, turn, because the kingdom of God is here. And he says this because we all have kingdoms. Large or small, we all have a unique realm that's really our own, where our choice determines what happens. We all have that, whether it's our little family, our job, our hobbies, we all have a realm where our choice determines what happens. And Jesus shows up and says, there's a better kingdom. The kingdom of God is here, so change. So, today we begin this sermon. Jesus sees the crowds, he goes up to the mountainsides, he sits down, and his disciples come to him, and he begins to teach them. Now, before we just get right into the teaching of the Beatitudes and these famous words, I think it's really important for us to actually understand who Jesus is teaching. Knowing the audience will help us not only understand the context, but actually bring real meaning to these words that Jesus shares. Now, many theologians point this out. They say, hey, if you're going to start the Sermon on the Mount, you should actually look at the end of the conclusion of it, read it, because it will help you understand it. Sometimes, like those of you that are in university, sometimes if the book is really complicated, you can just go to the conclusion and be like, oh, okay, that's what he's trying to say. I'm not, read the book, but if you don't have time, it helped me once in a while. We need to go to the end of the sermon to understand what Jesus is really talking about in the Beatitudes. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 7. So the Sermon on the Mount is found from chapters 5 to chapter 7, these two chapters, starting in verse 28 and 29. And Jesus, or Matthew writes, when Jesus had finished saying these things, so when he's finished preaching, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. The crowds were amazed. Now, who's this crowds? Like, who are these people that are amazed? And Matthew is careful here to show us that this is not the elite, the religious leader, the super spiritually, you know, people that you look at and like, oh, that's a spiritual guru. That person knows what's going on with God. He's saying these are the ordinary people. And they are amazed that Jesus is teaching not like the elite religious leaders. So why is this really important to note? Well, I think it's important for us to have the starting point of this ordinary crowd, because I think sometimes when we're confronted with Beatitudes, and for those of us who have heard them or seen the language of Beatitudes and grew up in the church, a lot of us can I suggest a lot of us, or at least I have fallen victim to thinking that this language, this blessed are, this beatitude language is actually for the religious, like for those people that are reaching these kind of high levels of being able to be poor in spirit. Like that maybe it's not for me because it's like, seems like it's for somebody else. And yet we see that Jesus begins this whole sermon with a very diverse, ordinary crowd. And I think it's important for us to start there. And he used the language that feels familiar to us, right? Like we've heard words like blessed, I just read them, blessed are. And I think also another point for us to really unpack before we go further is that he's speaking to ordinary crowd, but he's using a language, blessed here, that sounds very religious, and it is. But here's where our English language fails us a little bit. Because when we start speaking with blessed are, our language, our connotation gives us a sense of a condition, right? Doesn't it? Blessed are those of you who are poor in spirit. And so I need to work my way to be poor in spirit. Because if I'm not, does that mean I'm not, that probably means I'm not blessed, or at worst means I'm cursed, right? It carries this connotation. So I think it's important for us to see that God, that Jesus is speaking to the ordinary crowd, and he begins with this word blessed in a specific way. Now the word here in Greek is makarios. And this word does mean fortunate, blessed, you know, it does carry those things. But what's beautiful in this Greek here, in this translation, is that this word does hold a condition of earning, or sorry, it doesn't hold a condition of earning, but it does hold conditional meaning in it. And I'll explain what I mean by that. And it's really important to catch this. We tend to read it as, you know, as I said earlier, I will be blessed if I do this. If I achieve this level of spirituality, then I will be blessed. But the word holds in it a purpose and blessing for those that feel inadequate. So it's not an achievement. It's not a condition like, if I just do these things, then I will be blessed. It actually holds within it this posture, this way of being, that you are blessed when you find yourself not measuring up, when you find yourself inadequate. So Jesus begins his whole teaching to this ordinary, diverse group of people who are amazed that he's teaching not like the religious elites, not like those in power. And he starts with, the blessings are for those of you who are living in systems of inadequacy. Systems of inadequacy in you and around you. People living in vulnerability, on the margins. Jesus is speaking to this crowd who can never measure up to the powerful, who can never measure up to the elites, who can never, you know, who are not the do-gooders of their time, not the people that make everybody else follow the religious laws. And he says to them, you, the inadequate, the vulnerable, you are blessed. So there's a conditional sense there, but not one that leaves you working to achieve this, but actually one that finds you living in a vulnerable way. And in Jewish cultures, there were many teachings on blessings. There's a lot of things like outside of the canon of the Bible. There's a lot of talk of like these kind of proverb-like blessings, like blessed are those that have gained a platform to speak, because then you can do good. Blessed are those that found a good job that they can support their family. Like there are those blessing proverbs. So this is all in the Jewish imagination when Jesus begins to teach. But then he puts it all upside down and gives us this whole new framework that says, blessed are you when you find yourself not measuring up. Blessed are you when you find yourself at the end of your rope. Blessed are you when you have nothing left. See the difference? So the people are gathering and they've heard religious leaders teach these other blessings of like, if you do these things, you will achieve this. And when you achieve this, blessed are you because now you can do even more good. And Jesus turns it all around and says, blessed are you when you find life hopeless. Jesus says, when we find our worth in the kingdoms of the worlds and these systems, right? Blessed are you if you achieve these things. Blessed are you if you get this platform. Blessed are you if you become wealthy. When we find ourselves in those systems of the world, in the rat race of success, beauty, feeling good, wealth, he says, you're actually missing out. You're actually missing the kingdom life. So Jesus begins his preaching that when you feel inadequate, when you feel the systems around you are failing, when you see people around you are failing you, when inadequacy is pressing on you, when you are faced with systematic brokenness, oppression, economic disparity, human violations, wars, racism, sexism, when all of that is pressing on you, Jesus shows up and says, the kingdom of God is here, and it's for you. He doesn't give us a list of how-to statements, how to be your best self. So here's some great atomic habits to get you going. Here are some more rules or strategies. No. Rather, Jesus comes with a new vision of humanity that acknowledges our collective vulnerabilities, our collective inadequacies, and says, blessed are those who feel anything but blessed. We need to be reminded that Jesus is speaking to this crowd that's ordinary, that's not elite, but also a crowd that's living in oppression of a Roman Empire, who are feeling the squeeze of oppression, who are feeling the marginalization, the injustice, the inadequacy of their existence. And Jesus says, blessed. Blessed are you. And he jolts us with his proclamations of blessedness. How can I be blessed when I'm marginalized? How can I be blessed when I'm inadequate? What are you talking about, Jesus? And he jolts us to listen more. And the crowds are amazed because this is not how all the religious leaders teach. And so he starts with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is poor in spirit? Now, context here and meaning here is the poor in spirit are those who know they have nothing in them or with them to earn the kingdom of God. They can give nothing to earn it. And they know it. See the paradox here? They're at the end of themselves and they have nothing to offer financially. They're both actually poor economically. And they feel spiritually impoverished. They feel like they can't compete with the system of the world and with all the religious duties. And they have nothing to offer in any way. They're not the blessed of this world. And Jesus starts his teaching with them. Blessed are the inadequate, the poor with nothing to offer. You are blessed. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Those who mourn? What does that mean? Like those of us that are just sad? Well, the mourn here, the Greek word here, is actually the strongest word for grief in Greek language. Like the strongest word you can have for grief, this is the mourn word here. And it's typically used for those who grieve the loss of a loved one, where pain and tears is welling up from the deep of their soul. And Jesus says, blessed are you. Blessed are you when you are where you are in the piercing sorrow of life. Blessed are you. Blessed are you when you're inadequate and you just have nothing to give. Blessed are you when you're in complete deepest sorrow you can possibly find yourself in. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, the word meek here is not, it's not about meekness or timidness in the way that we understand it. In fact, this sentence that Jesus uses actually comes from Psalm 37. It's the entire psalm. So if you want to know more about what he means about meekness, read Psalm 37. But what it's talking about here is blessed are those that are powerless and unseen, who are in their humility are humble. Blessed are you who do not bulldoze anyone over, but are rather humble and gentle, because you will inherit the earth. Even though it seems that the powerful, the elite, the boorish control it now. Blessed are you. Blessed are you when you feel like you're not seen. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, there's a shift here a little bit in this Beatitudes, isn't there? And it's a shift for the next three. There's a shift from just being in this collective of being inadequate to a shift of yearning. As you're inadequate, now you're yearning for something in life. And Jesus says, blessed are you when you yearn for rightness and for justice. Blessed are you when this is your way of life. Even though you find yourself inadequate, you see that the world is not as it should be. There's something in you, in the created purposes, that you yearn for hope and justice. So Jesus speaks into this deep yearning and desire and says, blessed are you when you pursue what is right, what is just, and what is virtuous. Blessed are you when you pursue what is good. Blessed are you when you pursue the good of others, even though it costs you. Now, let's just think about hunger and thirst here. There's a little bit of vulnerability when we're hungry and thirsty, right? Because there's something in us that's lacking. And when we're hungry and thirsty, it's actually hard to admit that, right? Because it says like, oh, I don't have enough maybe. Like I don't have to work myself up to be hungry. There's actually something missing in my life when I'm hungry. And it speaks of this lacking. It speaks of this. And so this hungry and thirsty language here that Jesus is using is that you find yourself inadequate, but you want justice. You want rightness. You see the world and you say, it's not right. And you yearn for it. You see that things are messed up. And Jesus says, that hunger will be filled. You will be vindicated one day. Blessed are you for doing right. Vindication will be yours. Blessed are you when you're inadequate. And blessed are you when you yearn for rightness in life, because you'll be vindicated. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now mercy, like this Beatitude is kind of my favorite one. You know, mercy will receive mercy. Probably one of my favorites because it's so tangible and kind of accessible. Like poor in spirit is a little hard. Like, okay, how do I find myself inadequate? Okay, that's making more sense. But this one's like, I can actually offer this. I can actually be merciful. It's not as abstract. But yet it's so paradoxical, right? Because in the kingdom of God, mercy is not giving someone what they deserve. Right? It's much harder to give mercy than to receive it. We all like it when others are merciful to us, when they understand our intentions and they forgive us and they're merciful. But to offer mercy, to give it to somebody who, especially if they don't deserve it, man. And yet the kingdom of God looks this way. When we offer mercy, we receive mercy. Generosity of mercy begins to shape our kingdom life when we step into it. When we not only find ourselves not able to give anything else, not only do we yearn for rightness, but we begin to say, despite of all that's lacking and missing in my life, I'm going to offer mercy into this world. And Jesus says, when you do that, it reciprocates. It builds a kingdom of God, leading us to the posture of generosity, showing mercy to those who may not even deserve it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, this one is a hard one for us, isn't it? I don't know if it is for you. It is for me when I read it, when I first like just read. Blessed are pure in heart, because it reads like some kind of condition of perfection, some kind of holiness that I could never achieve because God knows my heart. Can I really be pure in heart? And I think what would be helpful for us as Jesus speaks to this diverse crowd and as he meets them right where they're at and he says, blessed are you when you feel inadequate. What he's speaking of here is to be best understood to mean that when you pursue God, that when you cry out, that when you see God, when you enter these spiritual practices of going, God, where are you? I don't have enough. I'm at the end of my rope. Where are you, God? When we pour out our lives to God, this is the purity of heart. When we reach out to God, not that we have everything solved and figured out and perfect, is that pouring out, is that asking God, is searching for him, is his our commitment to engage with God in all of our inadequacies. This is the pure of heart, not our perfection. And Jesus goes on and says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. This is probably the most well-known beatitude. There's been songs and books written about it. Lots of stuff has been talked about, you know, peacemakers. Many of you may have even heard it and can quote it without even knowing it might have been in Beatitudes. And this Beatitude, what Jesus is addressing here is to be best understood in the way that in the face of the violence of our world, and we don't have to even describe which violence, do we? All of us have experienced violence of some sort, some more than others. All of us have. So it's so well known because all of us have seen the messiness of the world. All of us have seen what violence does. And Jesus says, blessed are you who pursue peace. Blessed are you when you find yourself in the violent world and you find yourself existing on the margins looking for peace. And Jesus says, blessed are you because the kingdom of God is rooted in peace because he himself is the Prince of Peace. Blessed are you who see the fabric of the world being torn apart daily by violence, which begets more violence and more violence and more violence, all with good reasons why this is solving something. The system of eye for an eye that escalates every moment by moment. Blessed are you when you see that in the midst of all the powerful, mighty, and violent, it is the weak and the vulnerable and the fragile who are the first casualties. So blessed are you when you notice and you realize that the violence being perpetuated is on you. It is the weak and the vulnerable who are often the first who are stuck in the crossfires of collateral damage. Blessed are you when you say no to this, when you reject this, when you live in a way that speaks against this violence, even when it's been perpetuated to you, even when it's been done to you. Blessed are you. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Maybe a better way to understand this beatitude for us and what it means is hearing it this way. Blessed are you when you are subversive to evil. Blessed are you when you resist evil in all its forms. When you are mocked, misunderstood, hated for choosing justice, rightness, and goodness. Blessed are you when you stand for what is right, even when others mock you. And interestingly enough, then Jesus doubles down on this one and he says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, because of Jesus. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus repeats this because the systems and kingdoms we live in of our world are hard to leave, right? We can acknowledge together sometimes that the systems are not good, that they're oppressive, that they're violent. We can acknowledge that even pursuing the rat race of like getting more money or becoming more powerful, whatever it is, we can all acknowledge that's not good. But how do you leave that system? How do you step out of that? It has consequences when you do. It has consequences when you step out because pursuing good, pursuing rightness, seeing those on the margins or desiring rightness and justice when you are on the margins, there's a risk. So blessed are you when people insult you, when you step out of the systems that are destroying us. In pursuing this rightness, we actually begin to soften our hearts. So blessed are you, Jesus says. Blessed, this is the kingdom of God. This is what it looks like. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. There's a risk. There's a risk that there may not be any positive return when you step out of the system of this world. And in fact, in doing the right thing could be responded with evil. Not just mocked, you could be persecuted, and not just persecuted, you could be alienated, and not just alienated, you could be find yourself completely on the margins and inadequate and feel seemingly like you have no say in life. It's risky to believe that the kingdom of God is enough. And it's risky to step into this life. It's risky to step into something where you feel like you're going to lose everything. And so Jesus teaches these Beatitudes. He unpacks them for us to start this whole Sermon on the Mount after he declared, come, change your life because the kingdom of God is here. And then he lays this blessedness out for us and says, this is not something you achieve. This is something where when you find yourself looking for God, when you find yourself inadequate, when you find yourself vulnerable, and it's risky. The kingdoms of this world, the little kingdoms that we have developed, have been teaching us to protect, to guard, to accumulate, to assume the worst in others. So build up, power up. And in the midst of that, we find ourselves so inadequate because how do we actually power up and build up? Can we actually do that? Can we actually measure up? And the kingdom of God reveals that all of that structure and all of that building and all of that hoarding and all of that work is actually an illusion. In the sight of God, all of that is just like vapor. All of it. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God, something solid, something real, is here. So change. And then Jesus concludes the Beatitudes by simply saying, this is Paul paraphrase, blessed are those who have lost everything already, because now they have nothing to lose but everything to gain. When you find yourself inadequate, when you find yourself with nothing, when you find yourself mourning, when you find yourself yearning for righteousness and for rightness and justice, Jesus says, this is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when you step into this kingdom, when you turn from the structures in the world and the kingdoms of the world. Blessed are you. And it will feel like you have lost everything, but now you have the possibility to gain everything. And so Jesus teaches how our inward reality ought to direct our outward reality. That our inward reality, recognizing who we are in Jesus, ought to direct our outward reality of how we live. And then Jesus exemplifies all of this that he's teaching. He exemplifies and lives all of this. And if we were to jump to the end of the Gospel of Matthew, if we were to go right to the end, we would see that Jesus loses according to the world's structures. We would see that Jesus, and Matthew's careful to show us that Jesus teaching us the blessed are the inadequate, like when you find yourself there, because Jesus, Matthew says at the end of his gospel, is found to be inadequate king. And he's killed on the cross for it. And all is seemingly lost. But it is in the losing that all is gained, isn't it? Jesus' death, his life is death, and his resurrection paves the way to a new life. All that seemed lost was gained. And as we learn these Beatitudes today, as we hear them today, we need to know that they are for us. They are not something to achieve. They are simply meeting us where we're at and reminding us what the kingdom of God looks like. And they create an opportunity for us to respond. Maybe you have felt like, well, actually, my life is pretty good. Like, everything's put together. Everything's all right. And maybe today Jesus is asking you, do you have eyes to see of those who are vulnerable around you? Have you noticed them? Or maybe you're on the other side of that. Maybe you're on the side of feeling like, yeah, I feel like I'm inadequate. I feel I have nothing to give. What can I possibly offer God? I hope you hear today that Jesus says, you're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed when you yearn for the right things, because God is in you and with you.